Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Odessa attorney sentenced to federal prison. OA News at OAOA.com. Midland. On Tuesday in Midland, a federal judge sentenced 52-year-old Adrian Antonio Chavez, an attorney practicing in Odessa, to 24 months imprisonment for being a drug user in possession of a firearm. In addition to the prison term, U.S. District Judge David Counts ordered Chavez to pay a $10,000 fine, a Department of Justice press release detailed. Counts also ordered that Chavez be placed on supervised release for a period of 3 years after his prison term. According to court records, after receiving information from several sources that Chavez received quantities of methamphetamine, officers from the Odessa Police Department reportedly executed a search warrant at Chavez's residence on February 19th. During the search, officers recovered a Springfield Armory Hellcat 9mm, a Taurus Brazil 357 Magnum, a Rossi RS-22 caliber rifle, a Remington Wingmaster 870 TB 12-gauge shotgun, and a Remington 770 30-06 caliber rifle, the press release stated. Officers also reportedly confiscated a quantity of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. On April 15th, Chavez entered a plea of guilty to one count of being a drug user in possession of a firearm before U.S. Magistrate Judge Ronald C. Griffin, the press release stated. This case was investigated by the Odessa Police Department and the Texas Department of Public Safety. Assistant U.S. Attorney Glenn Harwood prosecuted this case. OPD searching for man involved in grocery store theft. OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa Police Department is looking for a man who reportedly stole more than $400 worth of merchandise from a grocery store. The report theft happened at 8:20 a.m. May 8th at the HEB located at 2501 West University Boulevard, an OPD press release stated. Investigation showed a man reportedly took $450 worth of merchandise and exited the store without making any attempt to pay. The man left the scene in a black Chevrolet Camaro. OPD has released a photo of the man that can be seen at tinyurl.com/7BWWM85H. Anyone with information about the theft is asked to contact Detective L. Goodson at 432-335-4942 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 21-0009885. Council approves bulletproof vests for police. OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa City Council tabled several agenda items during Tuesday's council meeting, including a proposal to amend the City Code of Ordinances requiring all city boards, committees, subcommittees, and commissions be subject to the Texas Open Meetings Act. Council Mark Mata, who requested the issue be placed on the agenda, quickly asked to table the item so that he could further study the issue. Prior to the meeting, Mata said that the amendment would make all boards and commissions subject to the Open Meeting Act. Council did pass a request by the police department to purchase 48 new bulletproof vests at a total cost of $106,370.25. That cost also includes 14 vests and accessories for the SWAT team and 146 raffle plates. Police Chief Michael Gerke previously explained to council. The vests will be paid for from donations made to the police department and a $27,200 federal government grant. Council on Tuesday also tabled action on an agenda item to consider a settlement agreement with Odessa resident Lisa Zaragoza, who has filed a lawsuit against the city. Council unanimously voted to table the item with no further comment. Mayor Javier Hovind also announced near the end of the meeting that a planned closed session to consider pending or contemplated litigation was also being tabled. Cuban community shows support. Photos by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Demonstrators hold up signs declaring support for the protests in Cuba against the government of Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel after a short march through downtown Tuesday evening in Odessa. Many of the members of the local Cuban community who took part in the march called for the liberation of the Socialist Republic after protests in Cuba began Sunday. Members of the local Cuban community marched down Grant Avenue during a demonstration in support of the protests against the government in Cuba Tuesday evening in Odessa. Currently, Cuba is undergoing widespread protests against the government of Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel. Members of the local Cuban community hold a demonstration in support of the widespread protests across Cuba Tuesday evening near the intersection of Grant Avenue and 3rd Street. Currently, Cuba is undergoing widespread protests against the government of Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, July 15th, 2021. Obituary and death notice. Obituary. Eva T. Franco. Odessa. Eva T. Franco, 83, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on July 11th, 2021. Eva was born in Chihuahua, Mexico, on March 24th, 1938, to Maria Maldonado and Andres Treviso. Eva is preceded in death by her spouse, Ruben V. Franco. Eva is survived by her two sons, Ruben Franco Jr., Danielle Franco. Grandchildren, Jonathan R. Franco, Tanya Portillo, Bridget E. Franco, Valerie Castillo, Michelle Franco, and Elizabeth Franco. Great-grandchildren, Kalani Franco, Nathan R. Franco, Jairo Portillo, Giselle Portillo, DeMarco Castillo, Michael Castillo, Natalie Castillo, Isabel Franco, Sophia Franco, Omar Franco. Services are entrusted with Odessa Funeral Home. Visitation will be held Thursday, July 15th, 2021, at Odessa Funeral Home Chapel from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Services will be held on Friday, July 16th, 2021, at Odessa Funeral Home at 1 p.m. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Jonathan R. Franco, Ricky Treviso, Manuel Franco, Jose Treviso, Jonathan Portillo, and Christian Herrera will serve as pallbearers. Death notice. Abe Perales Gonzalez, Odessa. Abe Perales Gonzalez, 77, of Odessa, died Monday, July 12, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, July 14, 2021. Health and Wellness. Annual Wellness Tour to take place July 27th through 31st. Clarissa Tuttle, Midland Health. The 7th Annual Wellness Tour is back in person and better than ever. The schedule for this jam-packed Health and Wellness Week is full of fun events for the whole family. Join Midland Health from July 27th through July 31st at a variety of locations in Midland. Here is a brief overview of the events. Burn calories with free workout classes and passes at local gyms and studios. Take an interpretive hike with Sibley Nature Center. Be a blood hero and donate at the Midland Health Blood Drive. Play yard games with Senior Life. There will be prizes. Bring the kids to the Keep Midland Beautiful Recycling Relay Race. Cool off and have fun with the Midland Fire Department at Wet n Wild. Free back-to-school physicals with Community Children's Clinic. COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic with Midland Health. Discounts at local healthy eateries. Free teen heart screenings with Championship Hearts and Midland Health. Ninja Warrior Style Obstacle Course for kids aged 5 through 17. Wellness Tour is one of the unique ways Midland Health is working to help make Midland the healthiest community in Texas. Our passion for Midland County, which is ranked in the top 10% of healthiest counties in Texas, according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, is for the people of Midland to enjoy their best health possible. Wellness Tour is one more step forward in lighting the way for health. This Health and Wellness Week is produced in part by Midland Health, the City of Midland, Keep Midland Beautiful, Midland College, Sibley Nature Center, Senior Life Midland, and Midland ISD. For a full schedule of events along with detailed information, visit MidlandWellnessTour.com. Clarissa Toll is the Community Relations Coordinator at Midland Health. MMH changes visitor policy. Midland Reporter Telegram. Effective Monday, July 12th, Midland Memorial Hospital will be implementing and/or reinstating additional processes to ensure compliance with guidelines from the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, OSHA, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, Texas Health and Human Services Commission, HHSC, and the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, related to COVID-19 and its variants. Key highlights. Every visitor support person who enters the Midland Memorial Hospital, MMH, main campus, will be screened using the CDC-recommended questions. No visitor support person will be allowed into the MMH main campus if they are experiencing illness symptoms, fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath, new loss of taste or smell, or headache. All visitors, support persons coming to the MMH main campus will be required to have a face covering, such as a mask, scarf, or other fabric covering their nose and mouth at all times while in the building, including the patient's room. Perform frequent hand hygiene and restrict their visit to only the patient's room as much as possible. No children or person under 18 years of age will be permitted at the MMH main campus unless they need to receive medical treatment or have been emancipated as an adult and are here in a parental spousal capacity. Extenuating circumstances can be discussed with the clinical manager of the unit. To view the policy in full, please visit midland-health.org/COVID-19. Please note the above-mentioned policy and processes impact the Midland Memorial Hospital main campus and do not apply to non-hospital locations. F. Marie Hall Outpatient Center, Legends MOB, physician office, etc. We appreciate your cooperation and understanding. We will continue to monitor evolving federal regulations and adjust our policies and practices accordingly. Midland Downtown Farmers Market. Photos by J.C. Lewis, Reporter Telegram. Two scenes from the Downtown Farmers Market on Saturday at the Museum of the Southwest. The first one shows a bushel of corn, and it looks like a bushel of squash, and a lady is shopping there at one of the booths. The second one shows people walking around looking at different booths. There's a young lady who has a really big black dog, and a young man who I believe is with the young lady and the dog, and various booths and people just looking at everything. YMCA Summer Jam. Photo by J.C. Lewis, Reporter Telegram. Summer Jam Zumba dancers worked out Saturday at the Midland YMCA.
Midland Reporter Telegram, July 10th, 2021. Letters to the Editor. Midland has enough flatland for development. Nueva Vista, an emerging wetland, is unique for Midland. Should we take the natural topography of Nueva Vista and turn it into another housing development? With the level of rainfall Midland has experienced in the last 2 weeks, a large portion of Nueva Vista was flooded. It is abundantly clear why Nueva Vista has not and should not become another housing development. Midland has plenty of flat land on which to develop housing and commercial projects. We do not have natural green space. Midland City Council vote no on the development of Nueva Vista. J. Loy Helm. Don't be pro-development at any cost. I think we should all watch the Nueva Vista vote on Tuesday. If the City Council votes in favor of the agenda item, they are sending a powerful message that the members of the council are pro-development at any cost, and opposition doesn't matter. Watch closely, Midlanders. This is an important vote. Corey Hardy. Nueva Vista impacts every neighborhood. Every neighborhood in Midland is on the City Council agenda next week. The City Council will be deciding on two key issues. Whether protecting neighborhoods from projects that would lower property values is a good thing, and if developing over already established green space inside the city is acceptable. I do not live in Grassland or Grassland West, but I like my neighborhood and want to protect my investment in my home. The Nueva Vista issue deeply concerns me because of the precedent it sets, destroying landscaped green space. If you agree in the importance protecting your investment in your home in green space in Midland, email the City Council and ask them to vote no on the Nueva Vista issue. Emails ppayton@midlandtexas.gov, srobnett@midlandtexas.gov, iblong@midlandtexas.gov, sdufford@midlandtexas.gov, jladd@midlandtexas.gov, jnorman@midlandtexas.gov, mtrost@midlandtexas.gov. Kira Boyne. Council should think of values at Grasslands. I am pro-development, but for the life of me, I can't understand why the Midland City Council would approve any development that decreases the value of a neighborhood. This should be a standard citywide to support neighborhood integrity. The Nueva Vista future development plans will add homes valued less than the homes that already exist. It just does not add up. Missy Williams. Money already spent tell us green space is needed. Over the past couple of decades, the City of Midland has approved the spending of $2 billion on master planning, Tall City Tomorrow Plan, and Priority Midland. All these plans talk about the need for green space. Nueva Vista is recognized in the master plan as one of those green spaces. The mayor has been quoted wanting to make Midland a recreational capital. Voting for the Nueva Vista agenda item on Tuesday is wasting the millions of dollars we have spent planning and goes against the mayor's vision. I agree with the mayor that there should be recreational activities in Midland that allow families to stay here and not have to travel to other cities on weekends. Midland should be a center for recreational activities for families. If the City Council approves the rezoning of Nueva Vista, I predict that within 2 years, the City Council will propose a bond or issue certificates of obligation to purchase land for recreational activities that will have to be paid for by taxpayers. It is much more cost-effective for the City Council to retain green space than to acquire new land for recreation in the future. I encourage the City Council to vote no. Kelly Burks. Protect the Neighborhood Green Space. On July 13, 2021, the Midland City Council will consider the annexation and zoning of land adjacent to the Nueva Vista Golf Course. In most instances, the main reason to annex property and then zone that property is to benefit the residents of the municipality. In rare instances, a city may annex and zone property to alleviate health concerns or address dilapidated and underserved areas. None of those issues are involved in Nueva Vista. If the Midland City Council approves the request from the developers, there will be no benefit to the residents of Midland. The effects will be to reduce the valuations of an entire residential neighborhood, create drainage issues, increase congestion on the streets, do nothing to facilitate parks, water and sewer services, or schools, and take away green space and land used for outdoor activities for the family. It just does not make sense. I am told by a council member that the proposed use of the developer's land is legal and a developer has the right to use his land as he wishes, and therefore the City Council must approve the requested annexation and proposed zoning. I have looked into the Midland Zoning Code and there are over 225 legal uses described in the code. Legal uses include a food processing plant, a landfill, and a warehouse. It is much harder to determine what is not allowed than what is allowed. Would the council allow every one of these 225 legal uses? If so, there would never be a reason to vote no and protect a neighborhood. People say a developer has the absolute right to have his property annexed and zoned. However, that is not accurate. There is no federal or state law that mandates that decision. It is up to the City Council. I ask the City Council to protect our neighborhood and preserve the green space. Dr. Jonathan Burks. Isn't recreation important in Midland? During an event hosted by the Midland Liberty Leadership Council, the Midland Reporter-Telegram stated that Mayor Patton said, at some point, and I don't know what that point is, your property taxes are going to go up if you're going to want things people say they're going to want in the city. I really don't want my property taxes to go up because the City Council voted to get rid of a highly used golf course in the city just to find out later we need more recreational activities. Hasn't that already been established? Mayor Patton also stated, I hope that a legacy that we can leave behind as we have begun to make this into one of the most outdoor-friendly places for recreational facilities and areas in the entire West Texas. If we are to be an outdoor destination for recreation, why are we taking that very thing away? The message is mixed. I believe the message is clear for Midlanders that the few recreational activities we have need to stay. Dara Richardson. Letters policy. There is a 350-word limit. Candidate letters have a 200-word limit. Letters must be submitted to letters@mrt.com. Deadline is noon Thursdays for the following Sunday. Reporter telegram policy limits individuals to one letter in a 30-day period. Letter writer should include phone number and address. Failure to do so could delay letters publication.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter telegram for Saturday, July 10, 2021. Few points. Improving outdoor space. Partnership leads to $55 million Hogan Park Initiative. Midland Quality of Place Initiative. Outdoor life in Midland has never been more vibrant than it is today. The past few years have created explosive growth in youth and adult sports, running, cycling, and the broader health and wellness communities of Midland. Add in all the outdoor gathering spaces and restaurant patios we have seen developed around town, and the story is clear. Midland is increasingly family-oriented, active, and ready to commit to elevating the general quality of life around us. A group of us have come together to create the Midland Quality of Place Initiative, and we've been hard at work for the past 2 years, laying the foundation for a broader plan. Our focus is to improve the planned and built environment in Midland by incorporating innovative design, cohesive architecture, connectivity, and quality pedestrian spaces. The Quality of Place community is comprised of Christina Johnson, Chris Ginsbach, Sharla Hotchkiss, Jack Ladd, John Norman, Jeff Beard, Sarah Harris, Lori Blong, and Greg Maybe. In addition to this community committee, the City Council is entirely committed to improving the quality of our public spaces. The Hogan Park Initiative is the first tangible project to go forward in partnership between the City of Midland and Midland Quality of Place. This project was already slated as next in line in the City of Midland's Parks Master Plan to address the city's need for preserved green spaces and connecting bike paths. As Midland Quality of Place and the city have worked together, Hogan Park has emerged as a priority from a grassroots community exploration of quality of life needs for Greater Midland. The Hogan Park redevelopment will rebuild and improve 120 acres of the park, excluding Hogan Park Golf Course, Sibley Nature Center, and Christensen Stadium. And the plan currently includes 14 turf baseball and softball fields, 4 grass practice fields, 12 batting cages, 5 multi-purpose turf soccer and football fields, 7-mile Hogan Trail walking path with trailheads, covered basketball pavilion, tall city playground, splash pad, social lawn with pavilion, food truck court, great lawn event space, dog parks, shaded seating areas, 1,979 parking spaces, including RV and bus parking, staff maintenance building, all new pedestrian and sports field lighting. Construction documents are being prepared this summer. The estimated cost for improvement is around $55 million for this public-private partnership. The City Council has demonstrated buy-in and support with $10 million in committed certificates of obligation. The Midland Development Corps is contracting with consulting firm Deanies Ferris to secure opportunities for local, state, and national funding. A local foundation will serve as the fiscal sponsor for the project as we move forward to confirm our permanent governance structure. The city will retain ownership of the property, but Hogan Park will be maintained and operated by a new park conservancy structure with its own staff and governing board. The Park Conservancy's organizational structure will be in place to operate the new Hogan Park by its anticipated opening in spring 2024. A privately funded planning study completed by Deanies Ferris earlier this year concluded that our community and funders outside of Midland would be supportive of this initiative if such issues as governance and maintenance structures are established, and the city confirms financial commitment and an ongoing partnership. A public-private partnership is the clear path forward to success. Attractive public spaces catalyze economic activity, as Centennial Park has proven. Excluding the golf course, Hogan Park currently draws approximately 360,000 visitors per year. An estimated 45% of those visitors are out-of-town guests who attend sports tournaments and go on to spend money at Midland's hotels, restaurants, and retail establishments. After the redevelopment adds capacity and amenities to the park, the number of guests visiting Hogan Park each year is expected to grow to 1.2 million. As we move closer to launching our vision, Midland's business community, philanthropic organizations, and individuals will have the opportunity to participate in a transformational era for our city. Midland's public-private partnerships are crucial to achieving significant work. This structure has succeeded for projects including Centennial Park, the Pioneer Water Reclamation Facility, IDEA Public Schools, and Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center's Physician Assistant Program expansion at Midland College. A reimagined Hogan Park will be another success as we build Midland's future as a destination, not just a detour on the way to somewhere better.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 11th, 2021. Other voices. Letter to the editor. Another federal overreach for power. I just learned from a commercial on the Mike Gallagher radio show that the Capitol Police is opening field offices in Tampa and San Francisco, with more to open in other cities. I was not aware the Capitol Police had jurisdiction outside D.C. As if we do not have a heavy enough weight of federal government on us with DHS, TSA, ATFE, FBI, DOJ, DNI, DIA, CIA, NSA, FISA court, etc. Now, we'll fund the Capitol Police to become another national policing force. This brings to my mind the on-air musing of ex-President Obama to create and equip a national police force. I'm nearly finished with my 70th year on the planet, and I've seen the growth of ever-intruding federal government during my lifetime. We used to have better sense than this, but we've allowed the construction of federal agencies because we were sold a story each time that they would have only external jurisdiction and authority, or will have only limited authority in federal matters, or the constitutional rights of American citizens will not be jeopardized, or FISA court will ensure these agencies do not usurp their authority. I recommend each of you contact our two U.S. Senators, Cornyn and Cruz. Contact your U.S. Representative. For me, it's Pfluger. Make yourselves known clearly right now before this happens. Douglas Moss, Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read the Odessa American, published Sunday, July 11th. Fort Davis attractions expect boost as Balmoray Pool opens. By Royal McGregor. Fort Davis. Word quickly spread in Fort Davis after it was announced on June 14th that the spring-fed swimming pool and day use area at Balmoray State Park was set to reopen. Business owners and state park officials know there's a package deal when it comes to the tourism industry between Balmoray and Fort Davis. When one of the main attractions is down, like the spring-fed swimming pool in Balmoray was for more than a year, the tourism industry can take a dip. We are so far away from everything that if they are going to come all this way, they want to see Balmoray, and they want to go to the observatory. Jennifer Harrod, who is the co-owner of the Fort Davis Drugstore and Hotel with her husband Richard Harrod, said, "They don't want to come out here and do a third of what they wanted to do. If those big attractions aren't available, it definitely hurts our traffic." Harrod said there's collective excitement as many of the attractions in the area are reopening after being closed, whether it was for renovations or coronavirus. Harrod said she saw immediate positive feedback once she shared on her Facebook page that the Balmoray Pool was reopening. "As soon as I shared that on our page, I started getting reservations," Harrod said with a smile. The attractions in Fort Davis include the Fort Davis National Historic Site, Davis Mountain State Park that features the Indian Lodge, McDonald Observatory, Chihuahuan Desert Nature Center, and Botanical Gardens and Rattlers and Reptiles Museum. David Larson, the superintendent at the Fort Davis National Historical Site, told the Odessa American the visitor center has been open since last August, and areas of the park that have been previously closed are starting to reopen. Masks are still required inside the visitor center. "We kept the grounds open for this national park, so the outdoor areas have been open the whole time," Larson said. "If we were to break it down, 90 to 95% of the park is open." At the Rattlers and Reptiles Museum, there are 29 types of venomous reptiles and 25 types of rattlesnakes. The cost is $5 per adult and $2 children 10 and under, with a $15 max per household. The McDonald Observatory has a visitor center, guided tours, and sky viewing and star parties. Online advanced reservations for passes are required. Prices for the general admissions, guided tours, evening sky viewing, and star parties are listed at tinyurl.com/YRX9VWZA. According to the McDonald Observatory website, the observatory is currently limiting attendance to its programs. The observatory staff will use best practices in facility cleanliness. If a person is not feeling well prior to their visit, please stay home. The observatory will reschedule or refund tickets with no charges. Deanna Herbert, the owner of Herbert's Caboose Ice Cream Shop and Herbert's Heirlooms and Resale, said normalcy is beginning to return. Herbert's Caboose Ice Cream Shop serves ice cream from a railroad caboose painted Burlington Northern Cascade Green. "Things are starting to feel a lot like normal," Herbert said. Adding the pool to it will help that. Better Business Bureau column. Serving the heart of Texas fight against scams during Military Consumer Protection Month. Military Consumer Protection Month, recognized every July since 2013, is an opportunity for consumer awareness, enforcement, and advocacy groups, such as Better Business Bureau and the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, to focus on the impact of fraudulent or malicious business practices on the military community. Despite the sacrifices members of the U.S. Armed Forces and their families make each day, the military community is a constant target for scammers and businesses employing unethical practices. According to the FTC, the military community, active duty service members, veterans, their families, and reservists, have lost more than $566 million to fraud from 2017 to present, with the majority, $60.8 million, to government imposter scams. The FTC remains dedicated to protecting America's service members through continuous enforcement of reported fraudulent activity and an ongoing educational campaign tailored for the military community. More information about the FTC's Military Consumer Protection Program can be found at militaryconsumer.gov. A few common scams that target military members include high-priced military loans, veterans benefits buyout plans, fake rental properties, misleading car sales, expensive life insurance policies, romance scams. Since January 2021, veterans, active duty service members, and their families residing in Texas have reported more than $80,000 of losses to various scams across the state, according to BBB Scam Tracker. To combat against scams targeting the military community, BBB's Military Line provides resources for active duty service members, veterans, and their families to assist the military community navigate an ever-changing and often complex marketplace. As a liaison between businesses and consumers, BBB is uniquely positioned to provide information, guidance, and consumer resources to the military community, said Heather Massey, Vice President of Communications for Better Business Bureau, serving the heart of Texas. BBB regional directors work with military bases around Texas to conduct training workshops specifically tailored for military consumer protection. These workshops focus on scams that target the military community, tips for transitioning service members, and information about national BBB programs, such as BBB Auto Line, that the military community can use when changing duty stations. BBB San Antonio Regional Director Jason Meza is conducting training seminars for new recruits at JBSA Fort Sam Houston during July and September, focused on home and car buying tips for those beginning their military career. For most military recruits, this is their first opportunity to invest in expensive purchases such as a house or car, said Meza. Unfortunately, unethical businesses know this as well and often target active duty service members with extraordinarily high interest rates or homes that will require substantial investment to fix, such as foundation, plumbing, or air conditioning issues. Better Business Bureau works with base commanders to provide training to prevent recruits from being taken advantage of by these types of scams once they report to their first duty station. BBB San Antonio also serves on the Armed Forces Disciplinary Control Board, which monitors local establishments demonstrating predatory tactics towards enlisted members or veterans. The board investigates and recommends off-limits establishments for base personnel. For more information about BBB's Military Line and to access BBB's 2019 Military Consumers and Marketplace Trust Report, visit bbb.org/military. Hello, this is Michael reading the Odessa American, published Saturday, July 10th, 2021. New Salvation Army Majors Return to Texas by Michael Bauer. Going from Georgia to West Texas might sound like a major transition for some people, For starters, there's the change in climate, topography, and etc., going from a forestry setting to the desert. However, Luis and Laura Melendez are no strangers to the Lone Star State, having served with the Salvation Army as Corps officers and pastors in Houston, Lufkin, Dallas, and McAllen in the past. Now their journey has taken them to their new position, as the couple takes command of the Salvation Army in Odessa as the new officers. They replace Captains Juan and Clara Gomez, who received a new appointment in Texarkana. Luis and Laura began their command in Odessa last month on June 22nd, and the two have been spending time getting acclimated with the area. The Melendezes are coming in from having served at the Evangeline Booth College in Atlanta, Georgia, as training officers. Right off the bat, I'm not going to say it's a cultural shock, but the temperature is a little bit different, Luis said. We were also in a forestry area with a lot of green, but thankfully, we've had a lot of rain out here in the West, and we got to see Odessa with a little bit of green. Apart from that, it's different, but we have served with the Salvation Army in Houston and Lufkin and Dallas and McAllen, so I'm used to Texas. For Laura, it also feels good to be back in Texas, as she highlighted some of the major differences between Odessa, population of 129,928, and Atlanta, population of 488,800. The people are friendly, Laura said. We don't have much traffic. It's much smaller in Odessa. We're happy out here. The weather may be another glaring difference between West Texas and Georgia, with the humidity much stronger in Atlanta. However, with all the recent rain that the Permian Basin has received in the last couple of weeks, the Melendezes haven't felt too much of a culture shock just yet. It has been interesting, Laura said. The weather has been great. That's a plus. There has been a lot of rain. I've noticed there was a lot of flooding in the area. We've been busy getting to know our church members and the congregation. Regardless of where they serve, both Luis and Laura know the object of their mission is always going to be the same. Helping the community and helping those in need, Laura said. We're trying to do our best to help the community. Luis and Laura were in Atlanta for 4 years. I don't know the term that we'll serve here, but as long as the Salvation Army and the community needs us, hopefully we'll be serving those in need, Luis said. The couple have worked with the Salvation Army since 1999. After a pro tem appointment in Dallas, they served in Kingston, Jamaica, at the Salvation Army Caribbean Territorial Training College as training officers. Luis and Laura were in Jamaica from 2011 to 2013. It was unique in the fact that the Caribbean is composed of 16 different countries, Luis said. They come to the training college in Jamaica from Haiti, the Bahamas, and Barbados, and etc. There are different currencies, but the main language we teach is in English. To have that group of young men and women being trained and us being foreigners was a unique experience. The food is very vegetarian. The resources are limited. But if you like island life and heat, then that's the place. Luis says that one of the challenges with the Salvation Army will always be donations. We have a thrift store, so please give, Luis said. Make sure your donations are resellable and useful, like something you would give to a loved one, and not something that we would have thrown out. That would become an expenditure. Donations are really appreciative. Monetary donations are great. We appreciate the help of the community. We do have a shelter that's under repairs right now, but we're hopeful that it will reopen soon. Another major challenge is the number of volunteers. Right now, we need volunteers, Laura said. Right now, that is a challenge because we have a warehouse to clean up before Christmas, and we'll need volunteers for Christmas. Establishing volunteers is a challenging part right now. Currently, the Melendezes said the main volunteers at the Odessa Salvation Army comprises of people from their church. We don't have too many, Laura said. Not more than five. We need young people. We need them to help us with the warehouse during Christmas and at the thrift store. The Salvation Army is located on 810 East 11th Street. The best way to volunteer is to call the office at 432-332-0738. Before joining the Salvation Army, Luis and Laura worked for corporate America at Bell's Distribution Center and at Tropicana corporate offices in Bradenton, Florida. Having served in Texas for a number of times, both Luis and Laura know that the state is filled with generous people. Texans like to volunteer, Luis said. Texas is a great state. The other places that we've been were Jamaica and Atlanta. Aside from those two, all our appointments have been with the folks in Texas. We love it. We don't mind the hot weather. You guys are wonderful. As far as challenges, like any other organization, there's going to be dry months, but don't wait for Christmas to give. You can give at any opportunity.
Exercise and osteoporosis. Dear Dr. Roach, in a recent column on weight-bearing exercise for osteoporosis, you do not address that the writer's exercise is primarily on an elliptical machine, which does not provide impact. Please address weight-bearing exercise with and without impact as it relates to osteoporosis. It is my understanding that cycling, swimming, elliptical, etc. offer less benefit due to lack of impact. S.L. Answer. A review of all studies published on the effect of exercise on bone strength found that any exercise was helpful. Surprisingly, the most effective exercise to help the hip in particular was non-weight-bearing strength training exercises. While the spine improved best when a person used multiple types of exercises, the classical teaching that higher impact is needed was not borne out in studies. When I give exercise advice, I try to identify what a person likes to do, as they are much more likely to keep doing exercises that they enjoy. Weight-bearing exercise, like walking, dancing, and the elliptical machine, definitely provide benefit. Strength training was found to be the best exercise in this review, and so adding in some strength training is certainly beneficial. Even balance exercises like Tai Chi have been proven of benefit by reducing fall risk and improving balance. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, July 15th. Errant expression leads to years-long misunderstanding. Dear Abby, I have always suffered from what I now know is social anxiety disorder. When I have to attend a large family function, I'm extremely nervous and miserable. As a result, sometimes I have had a sour expression on my face, although I didn't realize it. At a gathering several years ago, I guess I inadvertently gave what appeared to be a dirty look to the in-law of a family member. I didn't mean to be rude, but I was extremely nervous. Since then, this person has made a sarcastic remark about me on a family video, and another time as I was walking out of a family member's home, they made a face or gesture behind my back. I realized it later because I was wondering why the person I was saying goodbye to looked past me at them and laughed. I regret what happened and constantly replay the event and beat myself up over it. However, I feel this person has more than made up for it by their actions. I'll be required to see this person for years to come. Apologizing is not an option, as the two of us now have a seething dislike for each other. Do I have a right to give myself a break for this? Signed, Anxiety Sufferer. Dear Anxiety Sufferer, if someone was offended by a look they perceived, they should have approached you and asked what it was about when it happened. Surely other of your relatives know about your discomfort being in groups and could have explained to the person that the expression on your face wasn't directed at them. Regardless of how you feel about this individual, because you are going to encounter the person with some regularity, it would be in your interest to quit stewing, make the gesture, not obscene, and straighten this out. Dear Abby, my son and daughter-in-law are sweet, kind, and loving people. They are good parents to their son, an adorable toddler, and expect another child in 6 months. They live in an apartment and would like to rent a house to accommodate their growing family. The problem is they have 6 cats and a python. Most rental houses don't allow pets, most certainly not this brood. They have made clear that they will not sacrifice their pets for a place to live. I am very concerned about that many cats and a python cohabitating with a toddler and soon an infant. Please help me reinforce that while it is okay to have a pet, they are not thinking or acting responsibly as parents. Signed, Very Concerned Granny. Dear Granny, have you talked to your son and DIL about your concerns? If you haven't, you should. According to the Mayo Clinic, exposure to cat feces could cause a disease called toxoplasmosis, which can be passed by a pregnant woman to her unborn child. Look online for further information. In addition, many communities have zoning ordinances that dictate what kind and the number of pets people are allowed to keep on their property. When your son and his wife rent a house, they will be expected to abide by those regulations, or they will be in violation of their lease and subject to eviction.
Horoscope. Happy birthday for Thursday, July 15th, 2021. Home and family are important to you. You are sensitive and caring. You are detail-oriented because you are observant and analytical. In a 9-year cycle, this is your 9-year, which means you are wrapping up things you have been involved with for the past 9 years. It's time to let go in order to prepare for your new cycle next year. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5, dynamic. 4, positive. 3, average. 2, so-so. 1, difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 4 stars. Today, you feel sympathetic with a family member, especially a parent. Something within you feels the need to help a relative or listen to their concerns. Or you might want to cocoon at home. Tonight, be patient with others. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. 3 stars. Today, you are more sensitive to your environment. You might wish that you could make improvements or help make things better. You also might spend time daydreaming. Tonight, be clear about what you want. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. 4 stars. When it comes to money and your possessions today, one of two extremes might occur. You might want to share what you have with someone who is less fortunate, or you might want to spend money on gorgeous, luxurious items. Tonight, be patient with kids. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Your ability to tune into the nuances and subtle feelings of those around you is strong today. You're picking up acid rock through the mercury fillings in your teeth. Because of this sensitivity, you will sense if someone needs your help. If so, you will help. Tonight, listen to family. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 3 stars. You will be happy to find some quiet moments today to enjoy some peace and quiet and relax. Or you might choose to explore yoga, meditation, or some kind of quiet contemplation. You also might be happy to have an afternoon nap. Tonight, be clear in your communications. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 3 stars. A friend or a group might inspire you to become involved in charitable activities with others. You might work with a friend to help someone in need. You also might volunteer your time to an organization that promotes the welfare of those less fortunate. Tonight, be careful with money. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 3 stars. With the moon in your sign today, you feel more emotional than usual. Meanwhile, the sun at the top of your chart will call attention to you in a positive way. People see you as charismatic, caring, and compassionate. This is why you might be approached by someone who needs help. Tonight, don't argue with authority. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. 3 stars. Your idealism is aroused today, which is why you might want to help people in another country. This same influence also can heighten your appreciation of beauty, which is why you will enjoy museums, art galleries, and the arts and crafts of others. Tonight, avoid controversy. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. 3 stars. Although you might be focused on shared property, inheritances, and the wealth and resources of others today, you will feel gratified if you can do fundraising or steer resources and money to an area where they are really needed, perhaps the needs of children or suffering animals. Tonight, clarify shared property. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 3 stars. A discussion with a partner or a close friend will be sensitive and mutually receptive today. You will feel that you can be candid and honest with this person, and in turn, they will reciprocate and be candid and honest with you as well. Tonight, best to listen. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. If possible, you will use your influence at work to help a colleague or lend a sympathetic shoulder for someone to cry on, because you are more tuned in today. And because you are more tuned in, you see how some people might be anxious or suffering. Tonight, don't argue. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. 3 stars. Today, you are in touch with your muse, which is why this is an excellent day to be involved in the arts or to express your creative talents. Romance will be idealistic. You also will feel sympathetic and caring about the needs of children. Tonight, watch for financial errors. Astrologer Georgia Nichols.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.